Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over the green world?
Well, we bit the apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found.
But oh yeah, we did. We started to burn many things we found, too many things we found, including some of the ballots, those 3 million ballots that Donald Trump said were cast for Hillary Clinton, thereby making him the big loser in the 2016 presidential election. My understanding now is that the vote count, the vote margin for Hillary is up to 2.6 million, which is the biggest margin of any election, any candidate having won an election since 1896, ladies and gentlemen. Hillary Clinton won the election by more votes than any president since 1896. Although I got to look back, I mean, I saw this on the internet. I'm going to have to double check this. It seems to me that Franklin Roosevelt may have won by more. But 2.6 million, pretty substantial margin of victory. We will put a proviso. We'll put an asterisk on that because I just saw it and have not had time to check it out. But her vote count is rising. But, of course, as we know, according to Donald Trump, 2.5 million Mexicans swam across the Rio Grande, walked into voting booths all over the country, dripping wet, cast their illegitimate ballots for Hillary Clinton, and then swam back to Mexico, apparently, bringing back all our hard-earned cash. Because, of course, they all swam over with drugs and sold them here. We're going to go through the horrific, and we got the whole hour to do this, the horrific ongoing disaster of the great American non-recount, which sank to even lower levels in the last couple of days. We're joined by Bob Petrakis, my co-conspirator, and Steve Rosenfeld, the alternate correspondent, election correspondent, both of whom have been covering this in great detail. Bob is the lead attorney for Jill Stein and the Green Party on the recounts, and Steve has been writing about election protection for quite a while and is continuing to file great detailed articles on the internet with Alternate. Steve, I don't know if Bob's with us yet. Bob, are you with us yet?
Oh,
no word from Bob.
We'll get him shortly.
Yes, Steve. So tell us, Steve Rosenfeld, you're in the Great Bay Area, which I will be shortly, by the way, and I do want to talk to you about that. We're going to be doing a potluck at the Berkeley Unitarian Church on Sunday night next week, and Monday I'm going to be speaking to the Occupy group, which might be a good time for you to come by in the city. But tell us the latest now from Michigan on what's been happening.
Well, the latest from Michigan is the Trump campaign and some Republican judges have basically shut down the recount, and there's sort of been like a series of like dominoes that have fallen one after another. But really, the bottom line is that as of late last night, a federal judge said he was lifting his restraining order on the state from stopping them from doing that. He lifted it. And when I called the Detroit Elections Office this morning, I said, are people showing up to recount while the Stein campaign goes to the state Supreme Court? And he said, nope, nobody is doing that. So it's shocking.
It is astounding.
This is Florida. This is the new Florida.
All right. Well, let's talk about Michigan first, and then we'll go recount exactly. And I came up with a great pun today. I put it in our blurb for the show. All the gory details. Okay. So tell us precisely and exactly what is the basis for the shutdown of the recount in Michigan.
There's really a couple different things that have been happening there. There's really two different tracks. They're both equally outrageous. And there's what's been unfolding in the courts, and there's what's been unfolding in, you know, the county election offices in some key counties. and they're different. You know, one is has to do with whether people are recounting actual ballots or not, and there's some disturbing stuff there. And then there was the legal fight, which was over the whole process. Well, the Republicans sued the Trump campaign and then the state's attorney general, who's a Republican, Bill Schuette, and they basically said that Jill Stein was not aggrieved, they're not harmed, and therefore not entitled, you know, to have a recount. Now, you know, they didn't say she didn't have standing because, you know, hey, she's a federal presidential candidate. They just said basically that she wasn't injured enough, and therefore this rest of the state didn't have to put up with this, what they deemed a ridiculous process.
Okay. Bob's joined us, Steve.
So what happened there?
Wait.
Yes.
So how aggrieved do you have to be to file for a recount? I mean, what, was she like run over by a car and only one leg was harmed? Is this right?
Well,
what happened
you know, I was talking to somebody today who's pretty sharp on legal issues and things like that, and they said to me, you know, these government attorneys tend to look at the letter of the law, and they don't say that they never go beyond what is written and say, well, it could be a good idea for serving the public good that something like a recount ought to happen. Instead, you know, they just take this really narrow thing, and so what ended up happening was you had a swirl of court action at the state and federal level. You had a state election board saying tying two to two on Monday, so that meant the recount was started. You had these suits. You had an appeal to this Republican-dominated appeals court, which said no, it should be shut down. It then went to this. It went back into U.S. District Court, where the bosses, if you will, the appellate division above that district court level, was telling the appellate judge, well, you know, you should listen to those guys in the state. And then late last night, he lifted his restraining order, and nobody showed up to work this morning to keep recounting ballots.
And this, of course, was not on the front page of the New York Times. There's been virtually no, except for your articles, there's been virtually no media coverage of this whatsoever.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't feel like I'm a lunatic or a fringe person. I feel like, you know, maybe if people would trust the accuracy of the vote count, we'd have higher voter turnout, and we wouldn't have close elections, and we wouldn't have tyrants about to assume the office of the presidency. But you know, then the other thing that was happening, which to me was equally alarming. I mean, you know, a lot of people just will jump to the conspiracy theories, and they'll say, oh, they're just all a bunch of, you know, bad people. But I distinguish personally between some of the elected politicians and the lifelong civil servant career people in government who generally, I'm talking about the career people in government, are pretty dedicated to their jobs. They're underpaid, and you know, and they're doing what they mostly consider a public service. And I thought that most election directors that I have met, not all, certainly not all, but most, fell into the category of trying to do the right thing because they believed in the right to vote and counting votes accurately. So it was completely astounding to me. I mean, mind-boggling to me, is that the fellow who was the state election director in Michigan basically took this 1954 law, I think it is, and which gave the local county board of elections the discretion to whether to, like, investigate or not when it looked like there was some kind of ballot tampering or some kind of, you know, like the number of ballots didn't match the number of signatures. In all these other states, that doesn't mean you stop the count. It means you take a closer look. Well, in Michigan, it stopped the count. And he got on TV and he said, we just can't do it. You know, this is 59% of the precincts in Detroit or Wayne County. And, you know, this is where if there was going to be an upset in the recount, it was going to happen. It was 11,000 votes separating Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, a little less. And, you know, in these counties, she was winning by a 2-to-1 margin. There were tens of thousands of votes that did not of ballots that did not record a presidential vote. This was the simplest thing. This is not computer science. This is not spy versus spy. This is look at a piece of paper, see if there's an ink mark, and add it to a calculator. Next. Very laborious. Could have solved the mystery of the 75,000 missing presidential votes statewide. And quite possibly, you know, she could have, you know, I don't think, she, you know, she's not going to, she wasn't going to get to the White House, but she could have caused an upset along the way. And you know, and at the same time, educated everybody about how flimsy our election machinery is. But instead, you had this career civil servant stand up there and say, we're going to stop the counting, and we're going to defend my local officials. You know, and it's just astounding to me. I mean, it's the, I can't think of a bigger black eye to that entire profession. And this is, you know, there were other counties where people were doing a good job working with the Greens. Like, well, they were blue counties often, but I mean, I'm sure Bob can weigh in here. But I just find the two things incredible, just simply incredible. And, you know, the,
well, of course,
they, yeah.
Hillary Clinton, two things before I turn over to Bob. Two things. First of all, Hillary Clinton, of course, and the Democratic Party has done nothing in this whatsoever, although you can correct me if I'm wrong, Bob Strickas, attorney for Jill Stein. And secondly, we were all treated to the nauseating, I mean, I like Michael Moore. I think he's done great work over the years. But he was on national television in his occasional bloviator role and said that the reason that the 75,000 ballots did not have a presidential vote on it was because people were so angry with Barack Obama for drinking the water in Flint. I mean, come on. Okay, so Bob Strickas, you are lead attorney with Jill Stein. You're intimately aware
of what's... I'm the Green Party's attorney. I just want to make clear to people I'm not the chief of litigation.
Okay, so let's hear it. Tell us, you've heard Steve Rosenfeld talk about what's happened in Michigan. We lost, or the world lost this morning. The recount has stopped. What can you tell us?
Well, I think Steve got it right. You know, if you've got, you know, 75,000 or so undervotes, and anyone who knows anything about Scantron machines are going to be able to hang on one second. Steve, talk. I really have to take this. Hopefully, I'll have news for you.
Okay.
Oh, okay. That's an urgent call for Bob, and he'll come back to us after he's done. Steve, you made an allegory to an analogy to Florida 2000. Tell us about that and why
okay.
You think...
I mean, you know, look, I'm not trying to sound shrill for the sake of sounding shrill, and that's usually not my style. I mean, some people, it's just not. But what happened in Florida in 2000 was the Supreme Court intervened to stop a recount of the presidential ballots in that state, and basically by judicial fiat gave the presidency to George W. Bush. And, of course, Al Gore went along. The Democrats went along because they, you know, are so, I don't know, they believe so much in the system that despite all of its flaws, they have to submit. You know, it's you know, it's the order as opposed to, you know, the citizenry, if you will. And you have much the same kind of situation in Michigan. I mean, this is really unbelievable. You have. Harvey. Just think of the numbers here for a second. I mean, you have in the southeastern corner of the state, Clinton winning by 2-1, you know, 65-35, which means if any of, let's say, I don't know, just pick a fraction of those. There were 75,000 presidential votes statewide that, you know, were not cast. Suppose half of them were just misread, or maybe a quarter of them, or say a third. If 25,000 of them, you know, were not misread, and they and let's say many of them were from the areas where, like Detroit, where they said you know 70 voting machine scanners were broken. Well, let's say there were just 15,000 of them in those, and they broke along the same line numbers, the same margins as what was recorded on election night, 2-1 for Hillary. That means it's a tie. Okay? I mean, this is...
Wait. Be more explicit about that. You mean, how many votes did Donald Trump officially win Michigan by?
11,000.
11,000?
11,000.
And so 75,000 ballots came in Michigan, where the people got out of their houses and took time off from their jobs, and they came to vote, and they voted the entire ballot, except they didn't vote for a president.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
And those 75,000 votes are basically all in Detroit and other heavily blue areas. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, I mean, we don't know exactly where they are, but we presume a lot of them are. And why do we presume that a lot of them are? And I'm not trying to just, like, make this up. It's because there are some areas of the state that, you know, have the most neglected voting systems. And the you know, the evidence comes from the Detroit election director himself, who said 2 days ago that we had 70 machines of the scanners, you know, break down on election day. I mean, you're not having that happen in the white suburbs that, you know, that elected, you know, that in, you know what, you know the deal.
Well, no, tell us. I mean, are you saying these scanners broke down in the black areas in Detroit primarily?
Well, among other areas, yes. And that doesn't come. I'm not saying that. That's the word of the Detroit, you know, election director.
So he said basically, well, let's see. On an election day, how many votes would you expect to go through a single scanner to be read? These are Scantron ballots where you fill in or you color in
a
preference A, B, C, D.
Hundreds.
How many?
Hundreds. Several hundred. So,
okay.
You know, they said, now, you know, they stopped recounting the ballots, the paper ballots, in 59% of Detroit's precincts. That's more than 300 precincts because of some purported discontinuity between either the number of ballots in a box and the names on a voter thing, or on the names of people signing to poll books, or you have, this is craziness, you know. This is, you know, it's so frustrating. For people who really know about this stuff, it's just crazy making. This is why you have recounts. You know what this is like, Harvey? This is like the equivalent of people not balancing their checkbooks and just saying, oh, well, I just, you know, got whatever money I got in the bank.
Right. Well, it's also the equivalent of not doing instant replays in the football games now.
Yeah.
Let's make this allegory here, an analogy, because Bob and I are both fans of the University of Michigan. And this happened in the biggest football game of the year. Ohio State played Michigan and in Columbus. And it was a very close game. In fact, it was in overtime. They were tied. And there was a single play on a fourth down where the quarterback, the Ohio State quarterback, ran to within inches, one way or another, of getting a first down. And if he had, this was on fourth down, and if he had not gotten the first down, the game would have been over, and Michigan would have won. And it was literally within inches. And as far as I'm concerned, as a Michigan fan, they made the wrong call, even with the replay. But nonetheless, if they had not done a replay on this particular play, the entire football world would have gone crazy, and it would have been violence, you know. And the Michigan coach would have gone, both coaches would have gone completely out of their minds if this replay had not been done. And now we have here in the state of Michigan, we have 70,000 votes cast but not counted. Allegedly, people vote. Who goes to the polls and takes the time to go to the and cast, stand in line, for God's sakes, and do all you have to do to vote, and fills out an entire ballot and does not vote for the president? I mean, it's utterly, completely insane. And you, Steve, of course, have always been a little
Harvey?
Over key. Yes?
That's Greg Palast. I just joined you.
Greg.
I just left the office of the Secretary of State. of Michigan and the Office of the Attorney General. So I'll tell you.
Are you under arrest?
Yeah, I can give you the Trump line on what happened, or the GOP line, the Official Secretary of State line, is that.
Roosevelt and Bob. Is Bob back with us? Okay, go ahead, Greg. Tell us, please.
Okay, this is Greg Palast. I'm reporting from Lansing. Just going back to Detroit right now. So the Secretary of State, when I confronted his PR flack, said, "Well, these candidates are both so unpopular that it's not inconceivable that 75,000 people actually said, 'The hell with it, I'm not going to vote for president, but I'm going to show up and vote for, dog catcher or whatever.'" And that was the line. And the other question that they couldn't answer was, apparently in many cases, what I find when you have a big undercount like this is that the entire ballot is blank. And so I said, how many people actually went in and waited in line and didn't vote at all, at least from the point of view of the machines? And they didn't know. They did concede that the non-count was concentrated in Detroit, Flint, and other areas with African-American voters. Of course, that, those people, as the Secretary of State of New Mexico once told me, those people just can't make up their minds. So I guess that's what happened here.
Is this a trait known among African-Americans who come to vote that they can't make up their minds?
And Latinos, right.
Yes.
it's a tough choice between Trump and Clinton. But, I'm laughing, but this is changing the presidency of the United States. So, but all you can do is laugh. So I'm here. This is Greg Palast. I'm covering for Salon at the moment. And by the way, our film has just moved to Amazon, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, my film on how Trump will steal the election, which was a bit too accurate. So you can get it for $3 and weep and laugh, too. There's a lot of funny stuff in there.
Well, Greg, Greg Palast here with Steve Roosevelt. I don't know if Bob has rejoined us, Bob Fitrakis. He left to take an important phone call and is going to
I can't tell you what it is because it's all embargoed information, but there's some really hot stuff happening in these recounts. And this is one thing I would like to mention, because I'm not partisan. I'm not for Jill Stein or Donald Trump or anyone in particular. And for me, the great value of this recount has been a massive exposure laying bare to the public, to those who care to listen, that the system is dangerously broken, dangerously vulnerable, and it is broken and bent in a racist manner. That is, we do know that the machines in the poor neighborhoods are crap, that the procedures are crap, that there's no voting, that the voting infrastructure is corroded, and needless to say, you get bad schools, and you get bad hospitals, you also get bad voting machines. That's just how it works. And it is a national disgrace, but as Jill Stein said correctly, it is a form of Jim Crow. The type of Jim Crow we like in the North. It ain't rednecks with Confederate flags in your way of voting. It's white sheets instead of spreadsheets. Or spreadsheets instead of white sheets is what's going on here. I also talked to about this. You've been following this, Greg Palast. You've been following my writings in Rolling Stone. My investigation of a system called CrossCheck. In which there are 449,000 people in Michigan who've been accused by the GOP of possibly voting twice. 449,000. We estimate about 50,000 have lost their votes. I talked to them about their system of why would they remove voters based on what is clearly cockamamie nonsense material. I mean, if someone votes twice, it's a felony crime. why don't they arrest them as opposed to taking away their vote? Hey, Harvey, you break into a bank, they don't close your bank account, they arrest you for holding up a bank, you know. Here they're using the gimmick. Once again, Trump's claim that the election's rigged as people are voting multiple times. They are using Trump's claim to literally remove the votes of tens of thousands of minority voters. This is no joke. And this is what I reported in Rolling Stone. And effectively, the guy confessed to the deal because he didn't expect me to come in to ask him about that stuff. At which point, I then went to the Attorney General's office, and obviously word that Greg Palast was asking uncomfortable questions got there. And they didn't even pretend that they were too busy to speak to me. They said, we will not speak to you now or ever. Like that?
Yeah.
That's the Attorney General of Michigan. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Serve and protect.
Did you get
it? Now thrown in my – this is Palast having to also get off because I know I'm getting
all right.
All
well,
these
Greg,
crazy
thanks for checking
calls
in
from these politicians. Thank you so much. And
well, wait,
great
Greg,
work.
Mm-hmm. As you drive across Michigan, remember Karen Silkwood and be very careful.
I'm always careful.
All right, buddy. Well,
okay.
Thank you for that.
All right.
Court.
Okay. Be good.
Steve Rosen,
okay.
Drive safely, and thank you.
Okay. And if you go to Greg Palast. Yeah, if you go to, by the way, to gregpalast.com or the Greg Palast Investigates, the Twitter, Facebook, you can follow what we're doing. We'll be doing some live Facebooking as well.
And
your
movie, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, is now at Amazon.
Yep, so for a couple bucks you can download The Sucker. It's a real movie with Rosario Dawson, Shailene Woodley, Ice-T, Richard Belzer, lots of cool cartoons. And it's a lot of laughs, and then to watch the destruction of America by Agent Orange. Okay, so see you at the movies. Thanks a lot.
All right, good luck, Greg. Thanks for calling in. That was Greg Palast giving us more blood-boiling, tear-out-your-hair, Wheat for America information directly from East Lansing, the capital of the state of Michigan. Steve,
yeah.
Are you able to sit down after that? I mean, this is
actually about the calmest I've heard Greg in a long time.
Yeah, right. Well, I got more power to the guy for going all the way up there. I mean, I couldn't handle that. They'd probably have to arrest me coming out of the
these are not.
Like that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've talked to some of these folks before. They won't return my emails or things like that. They won't comment. I mean, when I questioned them specifically about this area of state law that allows these precincts to be disqualified, they just said, we're too busy now to get back to you today, and I never heard it from them again after that. So, this is just really unfortunate stuff, And
well,
as Greg says, Greg's movie, his latest movie, is... It's in some ways, it's kind of like a comprehensive look back at a lot of the stuff that he's done over the years. And what you get out of it, and it's not any different than the stuff you've done or Bob Fitrakis has done, is, you get this, you just come to the conclusion, that the voting system, the machinery is rickety, it's not reliable, it's deployed with racist and partisan overtones.
Okay.
So this is sad stuff. This is really, this is hard. This is not what democracy is supposed to look like.
Well, two things, and Bob is back with us, and I'll turn over to him for a second. But two things, Steve Rosenfeld. I mean, first of all, as a result of this system, you have to say really it's deliberately rickety, and it's done in a selective manner, in a Jim Crow fashion, as you said. And secondly, I continue to be stunned by the staggering silence of the Clinton administration, of the Clinton campaign. I mean, how on earth can this happen?
I don't know. I'm not talking to those people. I really don't know. I don't know why the Democrats aren't fighting harder. I don't know why they haven't.
They're not fighting at all. They're not doing anything.
Well, the thing is, it's like they're not even acting like they won the popular vote. you know, they just, I don't want to, like waste your time by going on a digression here, but, you know, the real irony here is the public attention is focused, some of it, a sliver of it, for a short while on what's going on in these recounts. And it is impossible to both get a fair count and a fair tally and at the same time address all these problems that are coming into view before they just go back into the shadows and they just hibernate until they come along the next time. And that is a great, great frustration.
Bob Fitchakis, you're back with us?
Yeah, I am.
All right. Well, so we had a call, which you missed, from Greg Palast. From Lansing, where he was basically told, you know, Michigan to American voters drop dead. And so they're not going to proceed with the recount in Michigan unless you have something additional to add.
The you mean on the Michigan, something that Greg said?
Greg was just at the Secretary of State and Attorney General's offices in Lansing. And they basically told him that they're not going to proceed. They're not going to do anything, that the recount is over. They said that Joe Stein, I love this, was not sufficiently aggrieved.
Right.
So, I mean, they only ran over one leg. And since she can still limp, I guess, there's not a problem here. Is that correct? Is that a fair appraisal of the legal situation?
Well, yeah. Now they're talking about an aggrieved party. They used a variation of that in Ohio in 04 and only doing a 3% count. I mean, the people that are aggrieved, which I don't know if you saw the press release still put out at 4:14 today, essentially saying the recount in Michigan has begun to expose a modern-day electoral Jim Crow. But Steve talked a little about these numbers. I mean, you had 87 voting machines break down in Detroit alone, many of them jamming, you know, couldn't be, the ballots couldn't be fed in to the scanners, erroneous vote counts. And Steve also, you know, was right in the 59%. Of the precincts in Detroit, 392 out of 662 precincts couldn't be counted because of the law he talked about with the security seal and the fact also that the poll book and the ballot box number failed to match. So also what they're planning to do after being briefly on the call is that they're filing an appeal, of course, and Steve might have gone over this with the Michigan Supreme Court, and moving to disqualify two of the Supreme Court justices, both who were on Donald Trump's shortlist for the U.S. Supreme Court. So that's happening. Also, there should be some interesting surprises in Wisconsin. I think you're going to look at action in Wisconsin. I suspect in federal court to counter this crazy Bush v. Gore and demand a actual full recount. Also, some other factors in Wisconsin. The source code, Wisconsin requires it to be held in escrow and to be examined. They're one of the only states that allow this with a non-disclosure agreement, but the you examine it for back doors to see if there's access. They never put it in escrows. They left it with the vendors, Dominion, NES, and Command Central, which is another remnant spinoff of Diebold. So two companies that were spinning off from Diebold, which went under for a pattern of fraud, and ES&S failed to give up and put in escrow the source code in Wisconsin, which legally makes the election illegal.
Well, let me ask you, both you and Steve, if this is going to go to the Supreme Court in Michigan. Let's talk about Michigan first. The Supreme Court in Michigan is a Republican-controlled body. Obviously, they're going to, you know, tell Jill that she's insufficiently aggrieved here. Can it then be appealed to the United States Supreme Court?
Well, I would argue that it's not likely that the Supreme 4-4 that you would get the the writ of cert from four independent people to even hear the case. In the past, I mean, other than 2000, when you had people like Scalia worried about the integrity of the Bush presidency. And the legitimacy of it, I would be surprised. But you could go from the federal court and you could appeal. I think one thing the Green Party is going to go down fighting that Jill, because what she said is, these votes don't belong to her. They belong to the people in Michigan. And it sure looks like a race-based system.
God, I mean, okay, now tell us about Wisconsin. You're saying that the law says that they had to put the source code into escrow, and they didn't do it. So what does that mean about the validity, the legal validity of the election? Technically, I can't even begin to speculate. What does it mean?
Well, it means the machines were programmed by these private vendors with no oversight by the public officials. The Wisconsin electoral board essentially wasn't doing its job. They're supposed to examine this and make sure it's secure and there's no back doors and nobody can hack into it or access into it. And they never took the source code from the vendors. They just let the vendors hold on to it.
Well, so legally, what does that mean? Does it have any legal...
Well, there's an argument under Wisconsin law that it was an illegal election and it was an illegal recount.
So what? So can they make Wisconsin vote again?
No.
Well, that would be an interesting remedy. Not likely, but what they could do is force them to give the source code to the experts to look at, and they could force them to do a full hand recount instead of this BS in Milwaukee, where you're running it through the machine instead of actually looking at the ballot.
This is staggering. I mean, it's hard to contain oneself when one hears this stuff. I mean, is this like Paraguay? I mean, all right, let's calm down here. So, Bob, you're following this. Of course, you're part of the legal team. Has the Democratic Party done anything at all within any of this litigation?
We've seen, we have these meetings, the attorneys, we talk, we have meetings, we consider. The one thing that's never come up are, what are the Democratic attorneys doing? What are the Clinton people doing? They're really nowhere.
Well, I could talk to that, but only very, very slightly, which is I know that early on, John Bonifaz, who was, a longtime voting rights attorney, who was instrumental in persuading the Greens to file these recounts. I know that the reason the fundraising didn't start until over the Thanksgiving weekend, which was late, was because he was trying to go to the Democratic Party and the Clinton campaign to get them to take up the cause and actually help with some big donors. And he basically never had his phone calls returned. So, it doesn't look, Bob, correct me if I'm wrong, it doesn't look like that's changed much since then. Mark Elias, the campaign's long-time election lawyer, wrote a piece in Medium on Medium.com explaining, their interest, which the Republicans tried to bash. But beyond that, they're being neutral observers. They're not doing much of anything that you could describe as affirmative on behalf of you know, defending their voters' rights.
Your analysis is absolutely correct. And the week before, as Steve knows, Steve has very good sources. I mean, the week before Thanksgiving, when Boniface on the Monday before Thanksgiving week approached the Greens for the first time, it had been clear he'd been talking, as Steve knows, with the Democrats, is that it wasn't Jill out soliciting this. And then he sort of disappeared, and we read news accounts that he was, you know, back visiting, trying to get a hold of the Dems again. So really, and this is very sad for the National Greens, who complain that Jill ignored them. He doesn't come back to the Monday of Thanksgiving week, and we've got a very short period of time to decide. And there was a meeting with Jill and David Cobb and I, and we decided to go, and we immediately contacted the Green Steering Committee of the National Green Party, and they were all, offended that we hadn't come earlier, but we didn't really know. And the website to raise money doesn't really go up till Wednesday. And Cobb, and you're absolutely right again, Cobb and Jill and myself all agreed we shouldn't have these huge donors that Boniface and the Democrats had. And really, you're absolutely right, Steve. It was Boniface who had lined those up. So when we put it up, we did, and this was Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and the deadline, as you know, we thought at the time until it was extended by Wisconsin, was Friday, Central Time. We didn't think there was a chance in hell we were going to raise this money, particularly when the donations were limited to $2,700 or less. So in many ways, the Green Party, and I think Jill is to be congratulated, she wasn't looking to do this. I mean, when she talked to me after Boniface was in on the one meeting, we went out and analyzed it and determined there were problems in the exit polls and there were problems with machines and it should be done. But she wasn't out trying to enrich the party, enrich her name. She was very reluctant, as was David Cobb, until we did this analysis saying, and you've got, these scores of computer science and security professors that really were pushing John Boniface, saying there was massive problems. So that's why we got in. It has nothing to do in a heavily regulated area, I think, as Steve pointed out in one of his articles, with the party getting rich. In fact, the big fear now is we're not going to, we're going to be in the red, after we've been drained by Wisconsin.
Oh, it's worse than that, Bob. Actually, the Republicans, true to their ever vindictive form, in Michigan have passed a bill out of their House Elections Committee into the full House chamber there to force the Greens to retroactively pay the full cost, which of course would be determined by the agency that just shut them down. So it's a way to, slap $1 million bill or more. I'm making that number up, but it's compared to what we've seen in other states, like Wisconsin, it went from 1.1 to 3.5 million. It's a way, it's an utterly punitive measure. So
right.
There's not going to be money left over, to go on vacation, to Hawaii or something here.
Well, along that line real quickly, I wanted to ask, before we lose track here, has anything happened in Pennsylvania? Bob or Steve?
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Pennsylvania is, each one of these states is its own rabbit hole. And in Pennsylvania, there's been an insane amount of obstructionist activities, behavior rather, by local election officials. Pennsylvania, who's top constitutional officers are all Democrats, didn't want to, they don't want anything to do with the recount. So because Trump's margin of victory is a little bit more, it's like 0.7 tenths of 1% instead of like 0.5 of 1%, there's no statewide recount that's automatic. That means the Greens have to do a citizen-initiated process. This is completely nuts. It means that they have to find three voters in every precinct. There are 9,163 precincts across the state, you know, more than 27,000, to file notarized petitions and then and pay a $50 fee, and then a recount will happen. The Greens got something on the order of like 1,300 of these petitions, you know, filed and signed and submitted within less than a week. More than 50 of them were just flat-out rejected by these local election offices. And then the Republicans came in, and they started filing these suits, and they went to some local courts, and mostly the judges, you know, just dismissed these petitions without you know, any explanation. The other thing the Stein campaign did as on a statewide basis is they got 100 people to sign a petition saying, you know, demanding a statewide recount following another legal avenue. The state came back and said, okay, we'll take that petition, but you got to pay $1 million fee before we consider it. That prompted the Stein campaign to file a federal lawsuit that's going to be heard as of tomorrow, basically saying, you know, the whole rights, you know, there's a bunch of constitutional rights that are just being stepped on when it's, you know, a legal citizen initiative process, you know, is not being followed, and when these arbitrary and random fees are being thrown up. And that's where it stands. In the meantime, you know, you have people on the ground who are working to try to figure out what's going on. And I should say, in Pennsylvania, just like in Wisconsin, Hillary Clinton is ahead in the counties they've looked on the ballots, the paper ballots, absentees and overseas military and overseas ballots and military ballots. And Trump leads on the mostly electronic machinery. And again, you know, here, you know, 6% both ways. She's ahead 6.2% on the paper ballots. He's ahead 6.8% on the electronics in the 10 counties around Philadelphia. So where are we in Pennsylvania? It's just like everywhere you look, more questions come up, more dots that deserve to be connected surface. The spaces between the dots only become nobody's getting satisfying answers, and I don't know that anybody will get answers. And you know, so the Greens are going into court. They're going to try to fight on this. It's on principle. I mean, really, you know, if you think about all the voting news that you get, we've heard all about the voter suppression stuff, the Jim Crow stuff before Election Day. You know, voter ID, move the precinct, shut down early voting. There's a version of that in Ohio. There's a version of that in North Carolina. There's another version of that in Florida and Texas and on and on and on. Well, now you have the after Election Day, you know, catalog of injuries and anti-democratic slights. And it's astounding to me. You know, like people, you know, you wonder why we have such low voter turnout.
Yeah, and so, really. It's just, it's amazing. Of course, nothing at all has happened in Florida or in North Carolina, and there, you know, there's been no move to recount. We missed that. Deadlines were missed, and the Democrats said absolutely nothing. Am I correct about that?
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, these are such major undertakings. I mean, nobody's willing to slap down millions of dollars. And that's another thing about what the Greens showed. I mean, as Bob said, nobody, including Jill Stein or anybody, you know, that as Bob was talking to, ever expected $6 million to come in over 2 days. Well, that sort of speaks to something that's going on in the public. And, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah.
Come on.
All right, well, listen, real quickly, let's take this. We're almost out of time.
If I might add one thing.
Please.
In Pennsylvania also, we went to a judge there because, you know, at least 70% of these are computer voting machines with no paper trails. Some figures say as high as 80%. So we went in and asked for a forensic analysis to look at any ballot images and the audit logs, and we were told no. But there's no other way to recount these things.
Okay, Bob, give us the website where people can donate to the Green attempt at these recounts, if you would, while we still got you here.
Well, I think it is. I haven't been there, but let me see. I think it's
Jill Stein
2016.
Yeah.
Jill Stein 2016.
Yeah.
And I hope the money is still coming in. I got to say, of all the things that are angering and blood-boiling about this situation, for the third straight time in a contested election, the Democratic nominee, Al Gore, who clearly won in 2000, John Kerry, who we are pretty sure won also, although not officially, in 2004, and now Hillary Clinton, have done absolutely nothing. I mean, I have not seen Hillary Clinton quoted anywhere about anything since the day after the election. You know, and the thing that I'll never forget Barack Obama said about her in the campaign, she doesn't quit. Well, she has just gone shopping here. I mean, how can the Democratic Party let the Greens and Jill Stein do this, and Bob and Dave, Tom and the other folks on the grassroots with no money do this with zero input, not only zero input, Willie Brown, the Democrat poll operative from San Francisco, took the opportunity to write an op-ed in the San Francisco paper attacking Jill Stein for doing this. And then Jeffrey Toobin on one of the networks, bloviating about the courts, says that she called her a grifter, for God's sakes, for doing this. I mean, who else in this country is standing up for democracy? It's absolutely beyond infuriating. And, I commend both of you guys for continuing to do this. It's astounding. Steve, where can people read your stuff and see your work?
It's that alternate, I got to tell you, this is some of the highest trafficking stuff we have right now are these stories. And it's because people really want to know what happened. And you know what? They deserve an explanation. People can live with reality. But, being in the dark,
Yes, and nobody's covering this. I mean, this is a staggering news. To get a call from Greg Powis, leaving the Attorney General's Office of Michigan, where he basically was told that they're going to tell Jill Stein to drop dead over this recount and forget about it. And now you're saying the Michigan legislature is passing a law that's
It passed the House. It came out of the House Elections Committee. It's got more steps to go, obviously. But it is.
Bob, what is the next step now for the Jill Stein team here?
Well, you've got the arguments tomorrow that Steve talked about. We've decided, David Cobb has told us to go down fighting in Wisconsin, that we're not going to accept a sham recount. We're going to file something possibly in federal court. We're going to demand that, make a claim that this election was illegal because of the lack of oversight by the election officials in Wisconsin. And I think what's interesting, and the only reason we can do this, even though it'll be close, is because people are supporting it. Time Magazine wrote an article saying, this money pouring in to the Greens for this recount does not bode well, for a timid Democratic Party.
No, the hell with the Democrats. The Democratic Party is utterly bankrupt. I mean, they have millions of dollars. Hillary Clinton could write a personal check out of her personal petty cash to pay for this whole thing. And where is she? Where are any of these Democrats? David Cobb, what's David Cobb's position, Bob?
He's the campaign manager.
And you are the attorney for the Jill Stein campaign.
Yeah, for the Jill Stein 2016 recount.
Okay, well, obviously, you two guys, we're going to have to do this again next week. I hope you're available. We should all be taking some kind of nerve-calming herbal tea or something like that. I mean, this stuff just makes you want to throw the... I remember when I was writing the book, You know, we put out about the 100 things that they did to steal the Ohio election, and I just had to get up and throw stuff across the room every time. And this is even worse. And I got to say, of all the people that I blame, it's the Democratic Party, number one. It's just staggering to me. Bob, what were you going to say?
But, yeah, Jill the other day was asking me about this Jim Crow, and I went back to stuff that we all wrote together and you and I wrote and Free Press stuff, Harvey, and I found it all. In this, yeah. As Ohio goes, I found the 2006 election was worse than 2004. Cuyahoga County alone in Cleveland, 16.8% of all the votes were never counted.
And you know what? I went through that stuff too, Bob. And you know what I found? You'll remember this. After 2004, the explanation that the major media gave was that there was an uprising in Ohio's southwestern Bible Belt counties by aggrieved white evangelicals.
Claremont, like, Warren.
It was never proven. There were no protests or Christian coalition events on the ground, and now we're being fed the same thing. You know, like the Great White Revolt across the Rust Belt states.
Right, and Michael Moore saying on national TV that 75,000 people in Democratic areas voted their entire ballot but omitted the presidential because they were mad at Barack Obama. We'll have to do this again next week. Thank you, Steve and Bob, and back to you in the studio. Thank you, guys, in New York.
Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the